There are about a million gang members in America. One-third of them are girls, and more of them are entering gangs at ever younger ages. Gangs are focusing on the recruitment of young girls as they move from narcotics trafficking to prostitution. Gang experts say there are plenty of gunnabies, young people vulnerable to gang activity. All this, experts say, is supported by American glorification of gang culture in rap music, films, and magazines. Yet very few organizations serve the needs of young girls at risk for gang activity. Tonight, in the second part of our series, From Rubies to Blossoms, A Portrait of American Girlhood, we profile two organizations who've been recognized nationally and locally for their efforts. Last night, we introduced you to the Rubies, girls who are the consorts of the Blood Gang. Tonight, girls learning to avoid gangs. Meet the Blossoms. A sense of pride is bursting out on a Friday night in January. About 20 young girls between the ages of 12 and 15 sit perched eagerly on folding chairs in a church auditorium in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood of Brooklyn. Some of their mothers and fathers are also present. Certificates of leadership are about to go to the Blossoms, girls identified as at risk for gang activity, who've learned through an after-school program how very special their lives actually are. A staff member calls them to attention.
Our next set of certificates are for the winter cycle 2002. These are my newest babies. These girls have fought me tooth and nail. Oh my God. But they're here. So we'll start off with L'Oreal de Catou.
Some of these girls are fighters. That's why they're in the Blossom program. Because their parents or schools or the DA's office, someone, identified them as at risk. Too much fighting, too much sex, too much delinquency. Before the police are involved or they're sent to juvenile detention, they've landed at Blossom, which was created to give these teen girls support. And Isis Sapp Grant is the woman to provide it. She founded the program in 1995 because, as an ex-girl gang leader herself, she knows something about insecure girls who seek a dangerous affirmation.
So when someone comes up to them and says, "Wow, you're really pretty," or "Wow, that was really smart," you know, or "I want to hear what you have to say," they're totally open. And a lot of times it's the gang members or the pimps that are saying these things, you know, and it reels them right in.
Isis Sapp Grant is beautiful, charismatic, and commanding. Over 20 years ago, as a teenager, she was the leader of a notorious female gang called the Deceptinettes. Street fighting made her feel empowered. She was arrested for robbery, her boyfriend was murdered, other gang members landed in jail. After she hit bottom, she says, she decided to give back to a society she'd robbed. Now she holds a master's in social work from New York University. When she was young, girls like her carried discreet tattoos on their wrists or ankles, something their mothers couldn't see. Now, even a veteran like her is shocked by the degradation of gang identification called branding, like cattle with a hot iron, something that's become prevalent among gang girls.
Now, you're talking about humongous tattoo size brands, whoever's bitch, and they're huge on their back, on their butts, on their breasts, on each breast. These girls, they take wires, they take hangers, they heat it up, they brand themselves. Or the men out in the street who believe that they are their property will take hot metal and brand them, and that is okay with them.
As terrible as this sounds, ISIS has come to regard it as a cry for help. Young girls who come to Blossom face a number of risks. Locally, the school near Blossom may have to close. The street pharmacists or drug dealers are the symbols of power in the neighborhood. And since the threats on the streets are real, it's no wonder that girls look for protection.
Like late at night, whatever, you can't walk out in the street and expect to go to the store without getting shot at or anything like that.
Shakina, age 15, came to Blossom to get a sense of where her life could go. She's not as intimidated by the adult gang members as she is by kids even younger than she, who form what they call posses.
I think it's more dangerous now because now they have like little kids and stuff, so little kids holding guns and doing all this stuff. So like you can't just watch the older people, you have to watch the little kids too. So.
Have you ever seen violence on your block or in your neighborhood?
Yes.
Guns?
Yes.
What was your reaction?
I was scared.
Yeah. It would be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Do girls ever talk to you about being in these gangs?
Yeah. They try to give me in or whatever, but I'm not like that. Like, say if they want to go fight a girl or somebody, they got a whole posse behind them, and they all fight this girl, and it's all good because everybody has each other's back.
But that doesn't appeal to you?
No.
What are you learning here in Blossom that's sort of helping you be the kind of woman you want to be?
Here I'm learning how to avoid all those things and become like my own person and to become successful in life, and how I could still live in this neighborhood but avoid all the bad things that's going on outside.
Blossom gets its girls to think outside the box. They make storyboards, literally pasting together the pieces they want for their lives. Here's my husband, says one board, showing rap stars Fabulous and 50 Cent. Here's my profession. I'm a doctor. These are my two adorable children. Here's my dream kitchen, my closet full of beautiful clothes. The storyboard is one of the things used by Isis Sapp Grant's sister, Mahisha Sapp, who is the Blossom Education Coordinator.
You've got a banner on the wall that says, if I can see it, then I can do it. And the gals have built sort of these fantasy lives for themselves. You've gotten them to imagine themselves as big
gotten
successes.
Gotten to imagine that they can become a doctor after first year of college. I tell them this, persistence and perseverance, but if you can't see it, then it's going to be very hard for you to do it. You have to see it first.
Mahisha insists that parental involvement is crucial. Blossom calls them when girls don't show up after school and expects the parent to be active, no excuses. That doesn't mean Blossom wants its girls to tune gangs out. On the contrary, they want them to be aware of how dangerous the environment really is. Mahisha points to a girl who often wears red or blue bandanas, the colors of the national Blood and Crip gangs. Jessica, she says, doesn't know just how at risk she really is. She even flashes a few gang signs for fun. Even imitation, Mahisha warns, could make Jessica an unwitting target.
Jessica could, just like any other vulnerable teenager, they can walk in a crowd of the opposite gang and lose their life just like that because they don't recognize what they're representing.
Jessica, 15, has seen a good friend go through brutal initiation rituals.
She said she had to do sexual intercourse to guys to get in. And the girls who were there, she had to get jumped by them. And I was looking at her face and I asked her what happened to her face. And that's when the girls jumped or whatever.
And how did it make you feel to hear this story?
It made me feel sad for her because with you being in a gang, it's like you will never get out. And if you don't want to get jumped, then that's the only way you can get out. And if you want to do something different with your life, then how can you expect that if you've been in a gang and you're still in one?
Blossom encourages girls to pour out these feelings and write about them. They publish their own poetry, they're passionate about their poems, and each girl gets to read hers at the certificate ceremony.
I wonder if I am loved as much as I love. I wonder if I am the girl for that guy. I wonder, do the people really understand me? Do they see me or do they see just a girl? And it would be nice if on days someone could say, how do you feel? How was your day? Well, other days, all I want is, and I love you, and for that someone to tell me how I make them feel. Sometimes I just want to feel like I'm on the same page as another. Sometimes I just want to be alone, listen to music, and enjoy the person I am because I know that whoever loves me loves a good person. This is just what I think of sometimes when I'm alone. I have found my someone to change these words I speak.
Experts say that an organization like Blossom is one of the best ways to combat the physical and sexual exploitation of young teenage girls. John Hagedorn is a leading expert on females and gangs at the University of Illinois at Chicago. His research shows that wannabes are at the greatest risk for exploitation, greater even than inducted girl gang members. He cites an example from his research in Milwaukee.
One girl had to, after having sex with all the guys, had to run naked in the middle of the winter, two blocks down the street between one house and the other. And then she was told when she showed up to the female gang that she had been initiated into the gang, they said, no, you aren't, honey. You know, this is our gang. We take in who we want. And she'd just been tricked.
Programs for gang prevention are essential to saving many thousands of young teens from gang life, but they're scarce.
Oh, no, I have lab today, actually.
John Dewey High School in Brooklyn is the birthplace for Council for Unity, founded in 1975. The program is in 55 New York high schools and other parts of the country. It's a program designed to reduce violence in schools by emphasizing conflict resolution. Robert DeSena is the teacher who helped students resolve the gang war 30 years ago. That effort grew into the council.
We don't present these young people with enough alternatives, enough options, so that they don't do that. And that's tragic. That's tragic. And now, you know, with this economic downturn and with cutbacks in budgets, a lot of programs that would probably that do serve young people are going to be shortchanged. And I predict that we're going to see some social upheaval if a lot of these programs get cut back.
By contrast, DeSena proudly shares a letter from the principal of Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx. It says, "After you brought Council for Unity here, we've had members of the Latin Kings, Bloods, Crips, Natives, Zulu Nation, and Aryan Brotherhood join the program and commit to a no-violence policy. To date, we've had no violence in our school. In my opinion, if we could expand this into the junior and elementary schools, it would make our community safe and more unified." That's exactly what DeSena was doing at PS 177 in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Council for Unity decided early on that getting elementary school kids involved was crucial. At an event marking its success, an 8-year-old girl took the microphone to reflect on what it had meant to her.
"I felt that when I was in Council for Unity, everything changed, because when I was in Council for Unity before, I was bad and I used to get my attitude and everybody didn't like me in the class. But when I first started entering Council for Unity, my whole world changed, and now I have friends who like me."
And although Council for Unity can boast that 96% of its members finish high school and 97% of those go on to college, in these days of drastically slashed education and social welfare budgets, the program nearly lost funding in New York last year. In fact, it was saved by one of its own alumni, Dominic Recchia Jr., now a New York City councilman from Brooklyn. Addressing the elementary school students, Recchia said when he'd been in high school, founder Robert DeSena had helped him at a time when another teacher wrote this in his high school yearbook.
"Good luck in life. I hope your smiles get you through." Okay? And the reason why I tell you this is because she didn't have any faith in me, didn't think that I could do it, didn't think that I would ever graduate from college. But this teacher right here, Bob DeSena, who was my teacher, he had faith in me, he believed in me, he encouraged me, and that's what it's all about.
Every expert we spoke to reminded us that programs cannot do it alone. Without parental involvement, gang prevention is that much harder. There are over 1 million gang members in America, and a third of them, or 300,000, are girls. Blossom has helped 200 girls since its inception in 1995. It's those 200 who will have a better chance because programs like Blossom empower their futures and they're learning exactly what they're up against.
"Gangsta. What does it mean to be gangsta? Must you live in a project, have a gun, bust a cap in someone's to get respect? I don't think so. Can I finish? America. What is America? The United States of BS. This country is made up of money and power, and this country is just so mean to me, the minority. I already have 2 strikes against me. I'm black and a female, but one thing is for sure, I have an education."
To see a photo gallery of the people featured in our story and for more resources on teens and gangs, go to npr.org.